Deuteronomy chapter 7. We're going to look at verse number 20. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 20. One of the things that I want us to learn tonight is how to find helpful principles as you're reading the Bible. And the reason I want to do that is because you look at this verse and, you know, you could read this verse a dozen times and think, oh, what a boring verse. There's nothing there for me. But there's lots in this little verse that can help us if we'll pay attention to what it says. The verse says, moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornets among them until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. He's talking about the time when, remember, Deuteronomy is the last book of Moses. He wrote the book of Moses as a review and as a reminder and as an encouragement to the people. And if you remember with me where they were, they had traveled now all over, they left Egypt, they traveled up and they came around the east side of the Dead Sea, and they're right on the east side of the Dead Sea, east side of Jordan, and they're right near Mount Pisgah, Mount Nebo, and they're waiting to cross the river Jordan into Canaan. And the book of Deuteronomy only covers a few weeks of time. And it's during those few weeks of time, Moses is giving all these repeated instructions and guidelines and encouragement to the people. And he's telling them about what it's going to be like when they get into the land and how they're going to conquer the land. And this verse, he's talking about how that the people of the land, when they hear the news, they would do the same thing you and I would do. You know, if we knew that people were coming in to conquer the place, or if they're going to send bombers over to destroy, or you know, people would try anything to find a place to hide, Back when I was a teenager, there was a lot of scare about nuclear war and things like that, and people were making these special nuclear hideout places, you know, where you could dig holes in the ground and make kind of a cave like in the ground, and you could go down in there just in case there was some nuclear war and things like that. And I remember in different buildings they would have a special sign up that was it was a place for safety if there was a nuclear problem. And there was all these kind of scares and worries about that. But it was a place to hide. So when the people of the land of Canaan found out that Joshua and the people were coming in to get them, and they were going to kill anybody and everybody they could get because of the wickedness of the people, what would the people do? Well, some of them would fight, but others thought, there's no sense in fighting. I can't get away. I'm going to hide. And in Israel, there were all kinds of places to hide. Do you remember? It was a very mountainous area, and a lot of it was limestone mountains. And in the limestone mountains, there was lots of caves and lots of dens where wild animals would go, and there was the caves, even somewhat like up at Yanchep around here, where there's the caves and things like that, because of the waters after the flood were receding off and washed through the limestone and made caves in it. And so it would have been similar in Israel. There's all these caves in place, and we find that in the Bible of how different people hid in caves. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But we find here that as a result, people were going to hide in these caves and dens and in the secret places of the earth. And then it was going to be a problem. You know, how do you get the enemy out of a cave? Not easy. God says, here's what I'm going to do for you. When they hide in the caves and they don't want to come out, I'll send in the hornets after them. I'm going to send the hornets in, and the hornets will drive them out of the caves. Now you think about that. That's pretty amazing to think that God's going to do this. And there's several things we can learn here from this passage. This unusual promise of God gives us information that will help us to see how great our God is and how God works in our lives. It'll help us to see that we cannot hide from God. There's a lot of really good principles you can find in this verse. And I want to show you these things because it'll help you as you're reading the Bible. When you find a verse, even a verse like this, you think, well, that doesn't really say much. But when I read it over a few days ago, I thought, wow, there's some things in there that are pretty amazing. Because God's going to send those hornets into the caves and all the hiding places to get these people and to bring them out so that they cannot escape the judgment of God. That's pretty amazing. God is an amazing God. And this message tonight is going to have some similarities to the morning message, but it certainly isn't the same message, and we're not reviewing the morning message, but there's going to be similarities to it because we're going to see the greatness of our God and how God can work and meet our needs in our lives. Now, as we look at it here tonight, I want us to see three helpful principles. Number one is that our great God is the sovereign of the universe. Sovereign of the universe. Now, what does the word sovereign mean? Well, the word sovereign refers to a king or someone who's in charge of everything. And God is the sovereign of the universe. He is the sovereign of the universe. There's no one in all the universe that is stronger than God. There's no one in all the universe that is more powerful than God. God is the most powerful, most controlling, most authoritative being in the whole world. The whole universe. And it is exciting to see that, to see the greatness of our God. Now notice again the verse. It says, moreover, the Lord thy God will send them hornets, the hornet among them. Now, the name that God talks about here. Alright? He says, the Lord thy God. Now remember, we've talked about this in the past, but it's a good reminder to us. Anytime you see the word Lord or God in all capital letters, it refers to Jehovah. That is the name of God. The people that translated our Bible put it that way on purpose. Instead of using the word Jehovah, they used the word Lord or God and put it in all capital letters. And when it's all capitals, it always means Jehovah. So he says here, Jehovah thy God will send the hornets. Now, what do we know about Jehovah? That was a special name of God. And what does that name mean? Well, the name refers to the fact that God is eternal and he is the self-existent one. God has always been. You know, people in our world today, they say, well, I don't understand it. How can God always exist? You know, I had a guy just tell me, I think Garrett was in the other day, we were talking to a guy and he was laughing about that and how silly that was to think that God always existed. And I said, well, when you compare it to the evolutionary thinking that, nothing ever existed, and this little nothing became a dot of that had everything in the whole world in it. That dot was smaller than the head of a pin, and everything in the whole universe was in that little dot, and then it exploded, and everything came out of that little dot. I said, that's more incredible than believing that there was a God that's the sovereign of the universe. That's just plain stupid, to think that you can have that much stuff of the universe. I mean, they're talking about all the stars. We're talking about trillions and trillions and trillions of stars. They're saying we're all crammed in that little speck of smaller than the head of a pin. That's insane. That's foolish. And yet that's what they believe. That's what they teach. And we know that God is the sovereign of the universe. He is the creator of all things. He is an awesome God. And he is Jehovah. Now we read about his name. Moses asked him, well, what is your name that I can tell the people? What am I supposed to tell them? Remember what he said there in Exodus 3, verse 14? God said unto Moses, I am that I am. I am. See, he was just emphasizing the fact, I've always been. I am. I am the existent one. And you know, there's several times in the New Testament, and I can't prove it, and I don't think anybody can prove it, but it certainly looks like Jesus was playing on that term as well. There were several times when people asked Jesus about who he was, and he said, I am. That's all he said. Now, when he said, I am, what did the Jews do? They picked up stones ready to kill him. Why? Because they knew that I am belonged to God. God, that was God, Jehovah's name. I am, the all-existent one, the one who's always been. I am. I've always been. I am. And so that was his name. We find also that he is the creator. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 4 says, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. So the Lord God, Jehovah God, made the earth and the heavens. He is the creator of all things. Every single thing that exists in the whole universe came from God. God designed it. God thought of it. God put it all together. You stop and even think about that. The mind of God is just phenomenal. When you think about, just even think about one little thing. All the different kinds of plants. Every kind of plant, every kind of flower you see, you look at these flowers and the differences of all those flowers. Now, people say, well, it's mutations that made them so they're different colors. Yes, it's true. However, God placed the genes in the rose to be able to have all the different colors that a rose can have. Because the plainest rose, the beginning of the roses, had all the genetic information in it to produce yellow ones and purple ones and pink ones and spotted ones and yellow ones. And all those genes were in that rose to begin with. They didn't come by mutations. The mutations are accidents and changes and things that have done to change it and modify it, but it was all there to begin with. See, we've got a God that's got a mind that is phenomenal. We're just talking about one little plant. You think about all the plants in the garden. You think about the trees and all the things that we see in nature, the beauty of everything, and all the fine molecules of things. That's what really blows your mind. You start thinking about the molecules of the tiny things that you look at in the microscope. It's still phenomenal. Well, you've got a great and a mighty God. And He is the creator of all things. Not only that, but Nehemiah tells us that He is the preserver of all things. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse number 6 says, "Thou, even Thou, art Lord alone, and hast made heaven and the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the sea and all that is therein, and Thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth Thee." Not only did God make them, He preserves them. He keeps it from blowing apart. God is the one who keeps the atom together. You know, scientists say, we don't know how the atom stays together. But when they can split the atom, what happens? You have an atomic explosion. But the atom is held together. How? They don't know. What else? We don't know. I know. It's God. God holds everything together. He preserves things. He keeps things together and keeps them in the way that He created them. So God is the preserver. So as you see in this verse, He starts out, "Moreover, the Lord thy God, the sovereign of the universe, the Lord thy God." And then He says that the Lord is God is the Lord of all nature. Of all nature. You know, everything in nature bows to the command of God. This morning we talked about the storm on the sea and how Jesus stood up and said, "Peace, be still." And when He said, "Peace, be still," immediately the wind stopped and the waves calmed down. Why? Because He's the sovereign of the nature. He was able to command the weather. If I went outside during a storm and said, "Peace, be still," do you think it'd fix it? I don't think so. It's going to keep on storming. It's going to do what it wants to, because I have no control over it. But Jesus is God, and God is control of all nature because He created it. And He can get it to do what He wants. And as a result, He can overrule the laws of nature. Now, the laws of nature with hornets. You know, if I went out to a hornet's nest and I said, "Go get them," you think they're going to do it? They're going to ignore. And if anything, they'll come get me. All right? They're not going to obey my voice. They're going to not pay any attention to me. But God is the sovereign of the universe. All nature follows His advice. And God said, "I'm going to use those hornets to do what I want. And I'll get them to do what I want." And God is able to do all kinds of awesome things. We see so many examples of this throughout the Bible. As I started thinking about this, I mean, the examples in the Bible are almost limitless. But you start thinking about things like Noah. Think about the things that took place during Noah's day. That God sent that flood. Now, the very fact that God sent the flood was of a miracle. But the fact that God brought two animals of every kind throughout the whole world to Noah to get into the boat without a fight, without a fuss, and that Noah was able to provide food for them, and God kept them calm in the ark for a year, in that ark, kept them all alive, the boat didn't sink, that He gave Noah and his sons wisdom in building this gigantic boat, and it didn't leak, and God caused the fountains of the deep to burst open, and the heavens, to the rain collapsed down from the sky like never before. It had never rained up to that point, never rained, because God watered the world with a dew, and now all of a sudden rain is pouring out of the sky, the fountains of the deep are gushing up. How did that all happen? God did it. God did it. He's in control of nature. So that's one example of how God was in control of nature. Genesis chapter 7 verse 11 says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the deep broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. Pretty amazing. Another thing that took place years later was the 10 plagues. Those 10 plagues are amazing. I always enjoy studying those because of the fact that it shows God's might. The blood and the frogs and the lice and the flies and the murrain and the boils and the hail and the locusts and the darkness and the firstborn. All of those were miracles. God caused miracles to just out of nowhere. The frogs coming from everywhere. Thousands of frogs. How did that happen? God did it. How did Moses turn the water into blood? God did it. How did Moses cause there to be locusts? So many locusts, these flying grasshoppers, so many locusts and grasshoppers all over the ground that everything was black. And they ate absolutely everything that was green. There was nothing green left. They ate all the leaves of the trees, every blade of grass. They were thick, so thick that you couldn't even see outside. It was black. And then God said, be gone. And they were gone. How did that happen? God's in control of nature. So here's another thing, how God overrules nature. We see the Red Sea, when the children of Israel journeyed to the Red Sea, and they were trapped, and the enemy's coming in, the Egyptians are coming after them, and God says to Joshua, open the Red Sea, and God opened up the Red Sea for them. The huge, massive water. This wasn't a little bit of a stream, it was a massive water that they crossed, and it was so big and so deep that when they got across and the army started coming across after them, the army got in the middle. Now this is a massive army. We're not talking about four soldiers. We're talking about a big army that was coming in after them. They got in the middle and God shut the water down on them and they all drowned. So it wasn't a little stream that was, 40 meters across. It was a big, big, massive part of the water. And it was deep enough that they all drowned, the whole army. So how did that happen? God did it. How did the chariot tires fall off the chariots as the army was crossing the water? God did it. See, God can overrule nature. And God did that. It's a mighty way that God did it. We see another example. For 40 years, the people of Israel wandered through the wilderness. And while they were wandering through the wilderness, God led them with a fire by night and a cloud by day. Alright, so there's a cloud that came over the whole camp of Israel at daytime to give them shade. So it didn't get too hot. It was a deserty area. And at night, the cloud went away and a fire came over it. It was like a fiery cloud that covered the whole camp to give everybody light. So you could be able to see and it would keep them safe from wild animals and various things that might be in the area. It would keep them safe. They could see. And so at nighttime, they had this fire over them to keep them safe. And at daytime, they had a cloud over them. And how long did that last? 40 years. That just can't happen. But it did. God overruled nature. While they were there in the wilderness, some of the other things that God did, He fed them with manna for 40 years. Every morning they would wake up, they'd go outside, and there would be white seeds all over the ground. And they would go collect those seeds, they'd collect enough for their daily food, and that seed was the manna. And it would had all the nutrients in it, all the food nutrients in it to make them healthy and strong, and they ate that for 40 years. When the 40 years were up and they went into Canaan, the manna stopped. See, God did that. It was a miracle. God gave them water to drink out of a rock during that time. God swallowed up some of the rebels in an earthquake. They'd never seen that before. And the rebels were there. And Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, the ground opened up and they fell in and the ground closed back up on them. How did that happen? God did that. He overruled nature. We find it also that in Numbers chapter 21, I believe it is, where the people were complaining and the snakes came out. The fiery serpents were biting people and they were dying. God ruled over that. God caused that to happen because of their complaining. Then we remember Balaam's donkey. How Balaam's donkey started talking. You can't make a donkey talk. I mean, he may go, ee-aw, ee-aw, but he's not going to talk to you. All right? And this guy was talking to him. And how did that happen? God did it. He can overrule nature. And so we see the power of God in all these things. Then we look at Elijah's life. In Elijah's day, God stopped the rain for 3.5 years. No rain. And at the end of the 3.5 years, they had a big time on Mount Carmel, and Elijah took him up on Mount Carmel, and he poured all that water on top of that dry wood that was on that altar, and poured 12 barrels of water on that to get it all soaking wet. And Elijah prayed, God, show them you're great. And boom, God sent down fire from heaven, burned up that altar, burned up the stones, burned up the wood, burned up the sacrifice, nothing left but a hole in the ground. Now how did that happen? It was a miracle from God. And then he prayed, and Elijah prayed and said, God, send rain. They hadn't seen any rain for 3.5 years. Elijah prayed for rain. That afternoon, God sent a rainstorm that was so strong that they couldn't hardly get back home. Powerful rainstorm. See, again, we see God intervening and overruling nature. We see the same thing in Elisha's ministry. We talked a little bit about Elisha on Wednesday night. But Elisha, how did he multiply the oil and he caused leprosy to go away? And how did he raise a dead person to life again? And he caused the axe head to swim on the water. All of these things were things that God did in his miracle power. We find also that Jonah. We talked a little bit about Jonah this morning. But God caused the big storm on the sea for Jonah. God also caused the fish to come along that was big enough and strong enough to be able to swallow up Jonah, keeping him alive inside of his belly for 3 days and spitting back out on shore 3 days later. God did all those miracles. It's against nature. It doesn't make any sense. And people read these things in the Bible and they laugh and they mock and they make fun of it because they say, oh, that's nonsense. No, we got a great and a mighty and awesome God. Some other examples. We read in the book of Daniel. God revealed dreams to Daniel that no one knew the interpretation of those dreams. God protected 3 men, his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, from fire in the fiery furnace. God protected Daniel from the lions in the lion's den. Now those lions were hungry. They were mighty hungry. What they would do in those days, they would have a big hole in the ground that they would, a kind of a cave like in the ground. They'd keep their lions down in there. And anytime there was somebody that disobeyed the king, they'd toss them into the lion's den and the lions would rip them to shreds. The lions were starving hungry. They only fed them enough to keep them alive, but they wanted them mean and ornery and hungry. And so there's these smelly old lions down there in that den, and they throw Daniel down in the den. And instead of eating Daniel, they just sat there and looked at him. God protected him. But the next day, when the king threw down the people that had accused Daniel, the Bible says it tore him to shreds before they even hit the bottom. See, the lions were not sleeping. They were not full. They were starving hungry. God shut their mouths. And we see again and again and again. And then we go into the New Testament, seeing Jesus' ministry, of all the miracles Jesus did. I mean, Jesus did so many miracles to show his authority and his power and his deity so that people could see that he was God. He healed the lame and gave sight to the blind and healed the lepers and raised the dead, walked on the water. And all those things that Jesus did were against nature because God is sovereign. He is the king of the universe. He can do whatever he wants. And that is the same God that we serve tonight. Young people, our God is great. Our God is mighty. Our God is powerful. Our God is the sovereign of the universe. He is the king of the world, the king of all the universe. And he can do anything. And he is the Lord of all nature. And we see here in our verse tonight that he told the hornets that he wanted them to go in and chase the people out of the caves and the dens and the holes and the rocks of the earth. God just said, hornets, go get them. And they obeyed God. And it's amazing. See, God is the sovereign even of the hornets and the bugs and all the creatures of the earth. God can do anything. He is in control of every situation. And you know, knowing that, we know that God can take care of every situation we face. Every situation we face, we know that God is in control. Now, the second truth I want you to see here tonight is that our God always sees hiders. What's a hider? Well, somebody's hiding. And those people who are hiding in the caves, God saw who they were. They saw where they were. He knew exactly where they were. And he told the hornets, okay, they're over here in this cave. They're over there. Go get them. And the hornets went in there, got them, chased them out. And the people came out. I mean, you don't argue with a hornet. I mean, you know, you might go down to Bunnings and buy some spray to kill the hornets. But they didn't have a Bunnings in those days. And they didn't have spray to kill the hornets. And even then, even if you did have that in a whole nest full of hornets are in there after you, you'd stand there with your little spray bomb, but you wouldn't stand a chance. They'd get you. Because if there's a whole bunch of them after you, you better get out of there because they're going to kill you if you don't get out. And bees are able to kill a person. A lot of people die from bee stings because you can withstand one or two bee stings as long as you're a regular, you're not allergic to them. You might be able to withstand 25 or 50. But if you get 1,000, you may not live because there's so much poison in your system. And these bees went in there and they chased them out. The people didn't argue. They left because God was in control of those bees. Now, God knew where those Canaanites were going to hide. And, the Bible doesn't tell us, but perhaps Joshua was thinking in his mind, what are we going to do? We get in the land and we try conquering this place. And, I know there's going to be lots of hiding places. How are we going to get them out of that? That's going to be hard. How are we going to send in soldiers? It's kind of hard to send soldiers into a dark cave and try to find the enemy. And the enemy are in there and they know where they're at. And you walk in there and you're only going one at a time. And they're going to knock you over the head or shoot you with bow and arrow. Or they'll get you. It's going to be hard to get them out of those caves. How are we going to do that? And God says, don't worry about it. I've got it all planned. I'll get them out with the hornets. And so God was in control of this, and He was helping them to see this, that He was going to help them. Now, in our human nature, we try to hide when we've done wrong. That's our human nature. But one of the things that's important for us to remember is you may be able to hide from your parents. You may be able to hide from your spouse. You may be able to hide from, you try to hide some forbidden secret things from God. You may think that your thoughts are just in your head and they've not gone anywhere else, so they're secret. But God knows everything. God knows everything. God knows everything. And we dare not forget that. We cannot hide from God no matter where we are. Jeremiah 23, verse 24. A very good verse you ought to memorize. Jeremiah 23, 24 says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Jeremiah 23, 24. We find also in Psalm 44, verse 21, shall not God search this out, for He knoweth the secrets of the heart. God knows the secrets of your heart. The things that you've not told anybody, God knows about them. Psalm 139, verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be a light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Did you realize that God can see just as good in the black of night as He can see in the bright sunset? He sees everything. Nothing hides from God. God can see right through everything. Darkness means nothing to God. He can see everything. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. God says nothing can hide from Him. He says everything is like naked before Him. He sees everything exactly as it is. Nothing's going to hide from Him. Nobody can hide. You may be able to try to hide from mom and dad. You may be able to try to hide from the teacher at school. You may try to hide from somebody else's, the policeman or something like that. But you'll never hide from God. Never. 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 And it doesn't matter what it is we're trying to hide from God. You cannot hide from God. And God uses hornets to bring out the hiders. And that is so amazing how we see that happen in this verse. But you think about that. If God can cause those hornets to bring people out of those caves, God will always find a way to chasten us if we're trying to hide on Him. I mean, we read several places in the Bible, but one of those places in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 11 and 12, that God always chastens His children. Now, chastening means you're going to get in trouble. You're going to get in trouble from God if you do wrong. Sometimes we get away with trouble when we do wrong and our parents don't catch us. You've taken something that shouldn't be yours, or you've done something you shouldn't do, but nobody caught you, and so you think, oh, I got away with it, and nobody found out. And you think, oh, I won that one. But you'll never do that with God. God always knows everything. He knows every secret of your heart. He knows all the things that you've done. God will chasten His children. He will use something in your life. He probably won't use hornets, but He'll use something of nature. He'll use something in your conscience. He'll use something in your world around you to chasten you and to get into your heart and to help you to see that you cannot hide from God. You can't hide from God. And He does the same with me. The Spirit of God works in our hearts to help us to see that we cannot hide from God. And if you're trying to hide something from God, it would be far wiser to surrender and confess. Far wiser. Far wiser. because you'll never be able to hide from God. Number three, our great God can help us through any situation. You know, you see this situation here. Joshua could have looked at it and thought, that is going to be so hard to get those people out of those caves and a hiding place. How are we going to ever do that? And God says, don't worry about it. I got a plan. God said, I'll take those hornets and I'll send the hornets in after him. God found a way to help Joshua and the armies of Israel. God did it. Now, God can help us in the most difficult situations that we face. No problem is too difficult for our great God. No problem is. Every situation we face is something that God can handle. And there is, you know, some situations seem like there's just no solution. But God is in control. You know, you may have a situation where you've got a rebellious child or a wayward child or an unloving spouse or an unsaved loved one or a financial debt or a lingering illness or a miserable neighbor or an unstable job or whatever your problem may be. God is bigger than your problem. God is able to help you. God can solve the problem. God has the power of the universe at his display. He is able to do anything. There's nothing that God cannot do. God created it, and he can do what he wants in all of nature. And if we'll just remember that, it'll help us and encourage us and strengthen us when we start feeling like, I can't fix this problem. Nothing is too hard for God. No matter how hopeless your situation may seem to be, nothing is too hard for God. Remember back in Genesis when God was speaking to Abraham and Sarah, and God says, Sarah's going to have a baby. Now, Sarah was an old lady by this time. She was around 90 years old, and she was beyond childbearing age. She could no longer have a child. Physically speaking, it was impossible. Impossible. And God says, Sarah's going to have a baby. And Sarah laughed. And God says, why did you laugh? Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing's too hard for God. And we need to remember that there is nothing too hard for our great God. Nothing. Remember what Jeremiah said? Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and nothing is too hard for thee. Nothing. So whatever your situation, whatever your problem, whatever your discouragement, whatever the situation in your life where you feel like it's just hopeless, it's too hard, it's never going to work, I can't fix this problem, trust God. Nothing is too hard for our great God. Now let's just review the things we've looked at here tonight. Our God is sovereign of the universe. There's nobody greater than him. He's the king. Our God always sees the hiders. We cannot hide from God. If you're trying to hide some sin from God, you're wasting your time. God knows all about it. He will deal with it because God knows everything. And he can send his hornets to get you if he wants to. He can do whatever he wants. And our great God is able to help us through any situation, no matter how complicated and how difficult and how impossible it may seem. Our God is able to help us if we'll trust him. And so we need to just depend upon God and rest in him. And I want to leave you with this thought. When all looks hopeless, remember the hornets. Remember the hornets. You know, when your situation seems like it's absolutely hopeless, remember the hornets. God can do anything.